Good morning, how you doing? You well? I'm trying to adjust the old camera there a bit. The camera. The laptop. Noisy, you might hear a bit of noise. You know, there's stuff going on. And it is going to put paid to today's radio show. I hinted at this yesterday. There's nothing I can do about it. It's one of those things. It's noisy. Anyway, it's July 11th, 2019. It's Thursday morning. Hope you're well. It's driving me mad, this. I'm going to do a quick, very quick roll call. And then before I look at the newspapers, I'm going to have a few thoughts or a few words on the BBC Panorama programme, which aired last night, entitled, what was it called again? Labour and Anti-Semitism or something like that. So good morning to Mo, to 2-6, to Dick, to Mark Perry, to Philip, to Chris, to S. Boxda, who's watching with Robin. That's a Robin Redbreast who's chirping away in the distance, presumably. I Defore Skin. Jew Smeller, good morning. Jason, good morning, Jason Williamson. To Lawrence King, to everybody who's on the old chat there. Mr. Sin, good morning, mate. Gordon Opfer is in Petaluma, in California. In Petaluma, California. Never heard of that, but, or there, but that's good. Gina Mills, how you doing, Gina? How you doing? Are you well? To Norfolk Iceni, to Andrew, and to everybody else. To Jennifer in Florida, John and Sarah Stott. It is cloudy in Manchester, and it is the climate change. Hi to Anonymous in Western Massachusetts, and to Mr. Sin, and thank you very much for your super chat donation. Thanks a lot. I love that. It means a lot to me. Hi to Triplis. Hi to Kelly. Morning, Kelly. I think Kelly's in Ireland as well. Imagine what? Dit, Kelly? Imagine what? Git, dit. That's right. Sniggering Sam. Give over Sniggering Sam. There's no need for it. Hi to Joe Public. How you doing, Joe? And to the 51 Project. Right. I understand that it has been kicking off big time on BBC Radio 5 Live this morning. Programme which is hosted, the breakfast programme. Shall I just go back to sleep, shall I, and start again? Yeah, BBC 5 Live's breakfast programme is hosted by, usually, Rachel Burden and Nicky Campbell. Nicky Campbell of Wheel of Fortune. Do you remember? Wheel of Fortune. Take a look at these fabulous prizes. Radio 1 jock. But yeah, the radio shows are dealing with one topic and one topic only this morning, and that's the Panorama documentary. Documentary? Shouldn't call it that, it isn't. It's a Panorama report. Panorama is a BBC flagship programme. It is a programme that reports on usually one particular issue. So like an in-depth special report. And last night it was dealing with allegations made by former Labour Party staffers. Allegations not only that anti-Semitism allegations are not being taken seriously and dealt with properly, but also allegations that at the very top of the party, people like Seamus Milne, the communications director, that he and others, and Jenny Formby and others, were actively interfering in the process. So they had some former staffers on. And that was the basis of the programme last night. It went on for an hour. Yeah. Did you watch it? What did you think of it? Did you watch it objectively? Could you watch it objectively? Is it possible to watch something like that objectively? Like Labour has enjoyed a renaissance in support, and it has enjoyed, how would you say it, an increase in its membership since Jeremy Corbyn became leader of the opposition, leader of the Labour Party. Could anybody who supports Labour, who supports Jeremy Corbyn more importantly, could they watch it objectively? Could somebody like myself, somebody whom very strong opinions about the State of Israel, very strong opinions about Jewish power and Zionism, and Zionism and what it is, but also somebody with very strong opinions about the Zionist lobby's influence in the UK and the US. Could I watch it objectively? There you are, there's a question. So that's for others to determine, I suppose, after I've had my say on it. So there's Jezza, Jeremy Corbyn, emerging from his house. That's become a bit of a sport, that. Corbyn emerging from his house with a bunch of photographers and reporters standing there asking him questions while he just repeats, "Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning," and then jumps into a car and drives away. It's all good fun. So, let me put my spectacles back on. So obviously the broadcast media is dealing with this morning, and it's been very lively on Radio 5 Live. I'm being told that an appearance on the programme by Tracy Ann Oberman, MP, formerly of Coronation Street. That's the programme. There is a Coronation Street, but anyway, she used to be on Coronation Street, and she inherited the seat held in Yorkshire by the former Labour MP, Joe Cox, who was murdered back in June of 2016, of course. So I'm going to listen to some of this stuff later on as best as I can and bring it to you, because apparently it is incredible, the carry-on of presenters, BBC presenters, in their interviews this morning, particularly when the guest is taking a pro-Jeremy Corbyn point of view or position. So we'll have a look at that a bit later on, and I'll bring it to you maybe tomorrow on tomorrow's programme. So it's everywhere this morning. Let's have a look at just one or two bits and pieces. The Guardian newspaper. Now, this is interesting because I had the lovely Julian Petley on the programme last night on the radio programme. And Julian has a lot of sympathy for The Guardian over the years. But he was very honest in talking about how the paper is not so much left-leaning in its editorial anymore as it is more liberal. And the difference between liberalism and leftism was outlined, I thought, pretty well by Julian Petley on my radio programme last night. So everybody's going with this. Some of the contributors there are pictured in The Guardian. Labour bosses accused of undermining fight against anti-Semitism. Former officials tell BBC Panorama that top aides interfered in the investigations. I will read out a cross-section of your comments in a minute. Problem is, I'm not looking at the live chat and I lose them. And some people say, "Oh, you're not reading mine out." I certainly am not picking and choosing. I'd like to read every one of them out and say hello to everybody. But this is where I get them, and it dumps them. See, there's me there. Look at that. Isn't that incredible? It dumps them. It doesn't dump them, but I don't see them. It stops. It cuts off at a certain point. Anyway, look, there you go. And I've never been the best technical person in the world ever. So there you are. So that's The Guardian covering it. The Guardian. RT. The BBC has had a pop at it too. Labour anti-Semitism claims prompt dismay in party. And the BBC has quoted a number of MPs and a number of other Labour bigwigs. And the BBC is saying that Labour people are pretty gutted and they're pretty sad and pretty heartbroken after watching Panorama last evening. The BBC. Okay, harrowing testimony. And the BBC lists the claims made by the former officials. Claims that Corbyn's office was angry and obstructive. Claims that Jenny Formby brought in people to oversee the process, and some of those people overruled the disciplinary decisions. And some of those people brought in by Jenny Formby basically reduced punishment to mere slap on the wrist type punishments. So Seamus Milne then, formerly of The Guardian and the communications director for Labour these days, allegedly laughed when advised by a long-serving party official about what Corbyn should do to tackle anti-Semitism. And allegedly, these were allegations made by former officials. They alleged that on one occasion, Corbyn's office ordered batches of anti-Semitism complaints to be brought to his Commons office for processing by his aides. And Labour have been pretty strong in their condemnation of not only the programme, but their condemnation of the contributors as well. Russia today takes a more balanced approach to it. It repeats Russia Today, the allegations made by the former party officials, but it also gives equal space on its website to the retort and the response from the Labour Party. There's the headline, deliberately misleading and biased, Labour shreds BBC report depicting party as an anti-Semitic swamp. There you are. Lovely job, boy. All right. All of this stuff is free to view online. So the BBC, The Guardian and the RT reports can be read. You might take a different opinion than I do on those reports anyway. So there you go. So what have I got to say about it? Well, been around a long time, as you know. I've participated in many a documentary, the production of radio documentaries, ordinarily. And I watched it with great interest, not least because the BBC, through a production company in London, is desperately keen to get me to do an interview with David Baddiel, to be interviewed by David Baddiel, as he goes around the country to try and come to terms with anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial and stuff like that. So, of course, I would have watched it anyway. So 8 former party staffers came on to say they were undermining their attempts to tackle anti-Semitism in the party. They said that Seamus Mill and Jenny Formby, as I've just outlined, the 8 former staffers said those 2 people interfered with investigations. 4 of them, who appeared on the programme last night, defied or broke non-disclosure agreements that they had previously signed with Labour. Now, a number of Labour's enemies and Corbyn's enemies are saying these non-disclosure agreements are dreadful, and they're not very transparent at a time when ordinary working men and women want more transparency and want more access and want more information that is uncensored and unfiltered. But the non-disclosure agreements are fairly common, and it's interesting to see Conservative Party people criticising the non-disclosure agreement aspect of all of this. They're very common. I've signed them in the past myself, so I know they're common. Tom Watson is a deputy Labour Party leader, and he's spoken out about this. He's called it deplorable, but he's not supporting Jeremy Corbyn. He said, Tom Watson on Radio 4 this morning, that any attempt to discredit what the former staffers have said is deplorable. So we are not to question the claims made by the former staffers. To do that is deplorable. Watson said they were very brave young people, he said, on Radio 4. And he tweeted that he was shocked, chilled and appalled by what I've just seen on Panorama. I wasn't shocked. I wasn't chilled. And I've given up being appalled by how, increasingly how the media or aspects of the media approach reporting on very serious and very grave matters. I wasn't surprised by what I saw on the BBC last night, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So Watson says they're all very brave. Gideon Falter, the chief executive of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, which is a charity, I won't waste time talking about Gideon Falter and what I've said about him in the past, which I stand by. He's a wretched, disgusting, cowardly, rotten, vile, worthless human being, Gideon Falter, who oversees a charity which screams from rooftops, well, usually from its own office, that anti-Semitism is everywhere and that pretty much who they say and who they identify as anti-Semitic is anti-Semitic. They make spurious claims that anti-Semitism is on the rise in the UK, even though all the evidence is to the contrary, it isn't. So we'll say as less about Gideon Falter as possible. A former head of complaints at Labour, a guy called Sam Matthews, has claimed that he was driven to the brink of suicide by the issue. Saw this last night. One or two saying that their mental health was affected. One or two of these former staffers. So they were brought in to help deal with anti-Semitism. And they say it wasn't getting dealt with. They say there was obfuscation from the very top of the party. It was very frustrating, and their mental health was impacted, allegedly. Labour Party fishwives like Stella Creasy and Lisa Nandy have come out to say things like, we must believe the staffers. And that's very interesting, that. It's very interesting. We must believe them. We have to believe them. Let me read you a couple of comments. Okay. Rachel Riley, who is seen on Countdown, an afternoon numbers and letters quiz type programme. Riley is Jewish, apparently. I believe she is. She's been screaming about it. David Baddiel, who wants to interview me about anti-Semitism, has been swearing at people like Jackie Walker, who's Jewish, telling her to fuck off, and anybody else who argues with him, telling him to fuck off. I wonder how does that demonstrate that David Baddiel is going to approach his investigation into anti-Semitism with an objective outlook from the beginning, I wonder. I was watching his Twitter feed with great interest last night, for obvious reasons, right? So Stella Creasy says, to every Jewish member brave enough to tell their story, to every staff member brave enough to tell their story, we hear you, we believe you. Why do you believe them? Why? You saying they're lying, Alan? No. Of course I'm not saying they're lying. I don't have any evidence to the contrary. I don't have any evidence to support the notion that they're telling lies. So I wouldn't do it. As a journalist who believes in behaving ethically around information like that, I couldn't say they were lying, but I can't say they're telling the truth, because they offered no evidence to support any of the claims they made. Worse again, the man who oversaw the programme, the journalist, a guy called Ware, didn't ask them for any evidence. John Ware is the guy. Do you know that? Do you know anything about him? Labour are particularly disappointed that John Ware oversaw the programme, because they believe that John Ware is himself biased against Jeremy Corbyn and has made allegations against Jeremy Corbyn in the past in other programmes that were unsubstantiated. So Labour is saying the choice of this guy to do the report in the first place is evidence that it isn't sound journalism, that there was an agenda from the get-go. I don't know. Don't know too much about John Ware, except he's written for some newspapers here and in Israel, and does it matter? So Stella Creasy said we must believe the people. Lisa Nandy says, I know some of these people. They hate racism. And that accusing them of having political access to grind is deeply wrong and indefensible. I don't know whether they have political access to grind. It would be pretty awful of me to be offering speculation about people I've never met or I've never interviewed. But what I do know is that a number of people on the programme last night made claims that they were subjected to pretty vile personal abuse, bigoted abuse. One guy said he was called a Jewish this and a Jewish that and F off you effing Jew and stuff like that. Now, of course, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it's hearsay. It's hearsay, unsubstantiated commentary, not challenged by the people who interviewed them in any way. You know, it's incumbent upon the people who interviewed them to say, can you show us any evidence at all that you were abused in that pretty nasty manner? Because if people are running around calling people effing Jews and effing this and effing that, that is nasty, and it is a disciplinary thing that must be dealt with. Of course. It's not the way to have discourse with anybody. you might revile what they stand for. And I don't mean Jews now. Anybody. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, conservatives, liberals, socialists, social democrats, whatever it is, you don't swear at them and call them names based on their identity. But they were not challenged at any time to prove any of this. And that's the thing, you see. Much of it was presented last night as fact. And while these people were telling these stories, these former staffers, the guy where the presenter or the chief reporter was nodding along kind of sagely rather than getting stuck in. It's important you get stuck in. How many times have you heard me say on the radio show to guests, well, first of all, the other person's not here to defend themselves. That's just your word. You don't have any proof of that. It's just what you feel. I've said it a million times. It's basic journalism. So it was wretched, is my personal opinion on it. It was a wretched exercise. It was dreadfully produced and dreadfully presented. You might make an argument that Jeremy Corbyn should have shown up, should have been interviewed. The Seamus Milne maybe should have did a piece to camera. You could make that argument. That's a legitimate argument. I'll hear that argument all day long. But it was a dreadful piece of garbage presented as hard-hitting news reporting when it was far from it. I'm none the wiser about whether or not Jeremy Corbyn really does hate Jews or whether he doesn't. I don't like Jeremy Corbyn. I would suspect he doesn't hate Jews. He's taken a very subjective approach to Palestine over his career, as I have. I've never claimed to be objective when it comes to my reporting on Israel and Palestine. I despise the Israeli government and the Israeli governments that came before it. I don't pretend to be any different. I don't pretend to be objective. It's subjective. I don't agree with people firing rockets at people, but I do agree with people defending themselves as their territory, as their country is eroded and they're wiped out on the map as they are the Palestinians. But I don't condone violence no matter where it comes from. But I'm not objective, I'm subjective. This was a subjective programme made by the BBC and it was pretty wretched. That's all I'm going to say about it. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say about it. So we'll leave that there and we'll have a look at the front pages of the papers. Before I do that, though, I'll have a read through your comments. Megatree Rat says, to mention the lobby and the bribe, good God, no, that would be anti-Semitic. I mean, we know that the Israeli lobby has been exposed in the UK on in brilliant reporting. We saw the Israeli staffer, the embassy staffer Shai Masot, meeting with Labour Party officials, and offering money to help bring about to bring down people whose point of view was maybe anti-Israeli. We know this. This has never been discussed on Sky News. It's never been discussed on the BBC. They don't want to talk about it. The Israeli lobby is incredibly powerful in this country. I would say it's all powerful in this country and in the United States and in other countries. That's where a lot of this is coming from. Hi to Jen in California. How you doing, Jen? Say hello to Shirley for me. Lovely to see you. And thanks for that super chat donation, Jen. Much love to you and yours in California. Lovely to hear from you this morning. There's so many comments there coming in. I'm going to let you talk amongst yourselves. I'm not censoring you. They're not. Michelle Maher has had her comment hidden. Michelle Maher has just had hers. I've just unhidden it. Milburn is telling me to stay away from David Baddiel. I'll talk to anybody, you know. I will. I'll talk to anybody. I've never been ashamed of my opinions, and I've never hidden from them. You saw what they tried to do to me a few weeks ago, what went on Twitter. Now, I'm not going to pull a truth or industrial complex, you know. I'm not going to kind of try and take on some sort of messianic complex. I'm a nobody. I make a very good radio show that sounds brilliant. Its production values are excellent, and it's got a really healthy audience, and I get some lovely people on there and some interesting people, and I like to hear from them. That's all. I'm not important. I'm not special. But the programme is very special. And we saw what happened a few weeks ago. The radio programme is. It's not me being big-headed. The radio programme is a special thing. You know, it was imagined into existence by myself and David Icke and one or two others who said, do it. Bring those mainstream values to the online radio sphere. Your ability to produce a second to none. Go and do it and make it sound amazing. And we've done it. And it's beautiful. And people don't like it. They don't like the fact that I've had people on like Norman Finkelstein and others. They don't like that Alex Scott-Samuel, Liverpool University guy, coming on to talk about liberalism and the influence of the banking families and stuff like that. They don't like this. They don't like it. They don't like that I'm very honest about my opinions. You know, about my opinions about how the Holocaust has been used to justify what's happened in Palestine. The attempt to obliterate the Palestinian people by the Zionist occupied government of Israel, which is an illegitimate country. Did you notice that last night? They kept trying to introduce into this narrative the idea that if you say that that Israel is a racist endeavour, that makes you a racist yourself. This is gaslighting, isn't it? Is that what it is? Is that what the term means? I hear gaslighting is a term a lot. I've not looked up the dictionary definition of it. I hear it used a lot. They gaslight people. Try and tell you that you think something you don't really think. I'm not racist. Or I don't hold any hatred towards anybody, no matter what their political or religious point of view. But I hate Israel. It's wrong to hate. I hate Zionism because it reduces you to this. It is a racist endeavour. Don't talk about sterilising Ethiopian Jews. Don't talk about that. That's racism, surely. Don't talk about a Palestinian woman dying in childbirth at a checkpoint. Don't talk about that. That's racist, surely. Israel is a racist endeavour. And the IDF behaves like the SS. It is the modern day SS. And they use the memory of Jews that were rounded up and scapegoated in Germany to minimalise criticism of what they were doing in Palestine. Most people have never heard of the Stern Gang or Haganah. Don't even know what those terms mean. Terrorists who got nearly 1 million Palestinians out of Israel by killing them or by beating them out. I believe they exaggerated the importance of the Holocaust in terms of human history. They've exaggerated it, given it an importance above and beyond anything else. 4 million Vietnamese people were killed in Vietnam. 4 million! By the French and the Aussies and the Brits and the Americans. 4 million people. I can't even comprehend that. And whether it was 6 million in Germany, which I've always said I have a problem with. It's a massive number, that. Doesn't matter whether it was 2 million or 6 million or 500,000 or 5.5 million. It's not the point. But I've asked. Did those who brutalised the indigenous people of Palestine in the late 40s, did they exaggerate aspects of what happened in Nazi Germany? You know, the lampshades made out of skin, which was proven to be nonsense. Who was behind those stories? I made a YouTube live stream a few weeks ago called The Truth, The Whole Truth and Nothing But The Truth. Watch it if you haven't watched it before, where I try and explain where I come from. Especially after that Twitter storm, where people were urging me to kill myself, threatening my family, these people. Who put that story in the public domain? That lampshades were made out of the skin of poor, misfortunate Jews who were murdered. It was nonsense. So if you accept it was nonsense, which it was, you've then got to ask, why was that story put into the public domain? Why? It was horrifying enough what the Nazis did. It's bad enough, like. Like I said, the number is irrelevant to me. It's irrelevant. Remember Kevin Myers got hammered for saying something about the number some years ago. I don't know what the number is or was. 6 million, 10 million, 5 million. I struggle with the number. But I'll always tell the truth about how I feel. I'll never be ashamed of it. Nobody's going to call me racist. Nobody's going to call me bigoted. I won't allow it. I'm too experienced for it. But they're introducing this concept on Panorama last night, this concept that to say that Israel is racist is anti-Semitic. Israel is institutionally racist. We are the chosen ones. We are better than everybody else. We flout and ignore international law day by day, week by week. We've got a stockpile of 100 nuclear weapons. We won't tell you about them. We'll put people in jail who blow the whistle on them. We shoot Palestinians in the face. And then we shoot the first aiders who come to help them. That's what we do. Not Jews. Jews don't do that. Not the Jews I know, anyway. So I was interested last night when David Baddiel was telling Jackie Walker to fuck off. A number of people were saying to David, and they must have been listening to this programme, because I seem to have I've not coined any phrases, but I've used the phrase over and over again. It seems to be getting traction now. The wrong Jew. The wrong Jew. Like when I had Rabbi Aaron Cohen on the programme, who rejects all of this nonsense. The wrong Jew. Norman Finkelstein, the wrong Jew. Shlomo Zand, the wrong Jew. Gilad Atzmon, not a Jew anymore, but the wrong Jew. The wrong Jew. So these are dangerous times. It's pretty despairing last night watching that nonsense. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So that's what gaslighting is then. Yeah, it's some kind of mind fuckery on people. It's kind of abuse. It's an abusive thing. Telling people what it is they really mean rather than listening to them. You know, nobody's going to tell me what I mean, because like the great Jeffrey Boycott, I say what I mean and I mean what I say. Again, another accent that doesn't sound anything like a Yorkshireman. There's nothing hidden in what I say. There's no ambiguity there. This is going on too long. Let's have a look at The Guardian. Johnson has thrown Sir Kim Darroch under the bus, says top Tories. Are you sick of this yet? The ambassador resigned. You sick of it? I'm sick of it. Public less tolerant of same-sex relations. Are they? Public doesn't care. Oh, God. The public doesn't care. Most people don't care. They don't. I was in Buell Hill Park the other day. A couple of blokes walked past me holding hands. How you doing, lads? Couldn't care less. I just don't care. I don't think anybody else who passed them cared either. It's nice now. Back in the early 80s, they would have had their heads kicked in for that. Not anymore, thank God. Live and let live. Nobody cares. That's gaslighting as well. It's lies. People don't care. May told to keep out of talks on new ambassador. Lovely. Labour chief interfered in anti-Semitism investigation. We just talked about it. There's Meghan Markle and baby Archie. Lovely. What's in the Telegraph? This is a week, by the way, of no sleep. Last night, 2.5, 3 hours. Went to bed at 11. I was up at 2:30. I've been basically lying awake since 2:30. It's just the weather. It's extremely oppressive at the moment. We say in Ireland it's very close. Close means humid. Isn't that right, Mr. Sin? Isn't that right, my Irish listeners? It's very close. That's the Telegraph. Let's get rid of that. When I get tired, I ramble. You ramble all the time. Do I now? Do I? There's the Mirror. The man with no shame, Boris, destroyed the diplomat's career. Has he? They'll send him somewhere else. Of course they will. What's in the Metro? Thrown under the bus by Boris and Corbyn anti-Semitism storm. And the publicist for Meghan Markle must have been working overtime, because she's gotten so much bad publicity. Because people who were not paying any attention to her whatsoever, but actually taking selfies of themselves at Wimbledon, of themselves at Wimbledon, were approached by her security staff and told, stop annoying the Duchess. Apparently she's making a number of PR faux pas. But the PR people must be working overtime, because she's on the front page of every newspaper today, looking very maternal. Fucking lizards. Right. I joke. I jest. Johnson blamed his US ambassador quits. There you go. Who won the toss, by the way, in the cricket? England are playing Australia at 10:30 this morning, weather permitting. Who won the toss? Anybody? Anybody? What's on the Daily Mail? One glass of juice a day raises risk of cancer. There's a lot of added sugar in juices. We like the old freshly squeezed orange juice, the future Mrs. Allen and I. It's lovely. Got used to that in Spain, where it's on tap in España. It's a health story. It's online. It's free online if you want to read it. Dailymail.co.uk or whatever. Dailymail.com. The Sun. Intruder at palace as Queen slept. Takes me back to the days of Michael Fagan. Do you remember Michael Fagan? Some of our younger viewers now won't remember Michael Fagan. Michael scaled the gates of the palace in 1981, was it, or 82? Can't remember. Got into the Queen's bedroom and rogered her senses. No, he didn't. He sat down and he had a chat with the Queen. Why did you say that, Richie? Oh, Jesus. I have some sort of Tourette's, I think. Rogered her senseless. He had a chat with her and then he was calmly led away by the security. Calmly. That's what they said in the papers. They kicked 9 kinds of donkey's manure out of him. What's in the Express? Action to end cruel delays for the dying. This is to do with benefits. And Amber Rudd, the Work and Pension Secretary, has been addressing the media this morning on this subject. I did spy her in the distance on a TV screen, but I've not listened to it, so I can't tell you much about the story. But apparently terminally ill people get it as bad as anybody when it comes to losing access to vital benefits. This is a sick society, people. It really is. And excuse me, I'm a bit thirsty. Vodka. Action to end cruel delays for the dying. So you can read that. The Express is free online as well. And there's a picture of Meghan at the polo, presumably passing over baby Archie to Harry, who's just been in the polo. That front page of the Express this morning reminded me of something, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And then there it is. Oh, Jesus. It's rubbish, this. Patrick Vidian seems to think that I'm genuinely putting myself down. I'm not, of course, but it is rubbish. I mean, this is fucking crap, this. But it's beautiful crap, you know. It's lovely. Good old Harry Hewitt. We missed any newspapers, have we? 20 to 11 it is. We missed the Star, did we? Robbie Williams, evil ghost, drove me to the brink of suicide. Good boy, Robbie. Good lad. Went to see Robbie at the Etihad Stadium 2 summers ago. Might have been 3, I can't remember. 2017, I think it was. He was excellent. Do you know who supported him? I was chuffed. I didn't know. I went with, obviously with Caroline. We drove over to the City of Manchester Stadium, parked up, sat down on the grass and had a bit of a picnic. And then walked into the stadium because we had seats. And I had no idea who was supporting him, but Erasure were supporting him. And it was absolutely brilliant. Loved it. As a child of the mid-1970s, of course, I was listening to music on the radio in the 1980s. And loved all the old pop, all the old crap, Erasure. But yeah, it was good. Vince Clark, right? Is that right? Erasure were brilliant on the night, actually. Very good. In fact, I'd pay to see Erasure again. They were that good if they were gigging in my vicinity anytime soon. Do you want a few laughs before we run out of steam here? Do you want a few laughs? Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh. He didn't even have an encounter with a transgender person. He was asked in an assessment of his ability to do his job. So presumably NHS doctors and staff are often assessed by somebody and the doctor will be asked a few questions. And he was being assessed. And one of the questions in the assessment was, if you'd call a 6 foot tall man with a beard, madam, if requested like. And Dr. David Macareth said, no, would I fuck? And the assessor said, you're suspended! What kind of fuckery is this? What kind of fuckery are you? Yeah, suspended. No, he's taking it on. He's not having it. I'm 6 foot 5.5 inches tall. I used to be 6 foot 6 inches tall. And I've shrunk by a half an inch. Very worried about this now. But then I don't know how fast the shrinking is happening. I might be lucky. It might be happening at a rate of knots. In which case, I might reduce to about 4 foot 3 or 4 foot 4. In which case, I'll hire an agent and I'll put myself forward for acting roles in various children's films and stuff. But I've lost a half an inch. Thank God, just off the top, if you know what I'm saying. And 6 foot 5.5 now. I'm glad about that, actually. It's great being 6 foot six. No, it had a certain sound to it, didn't it? 6 foot 5.5 is like, meh. Anyway, it's all in proportion, ladies. So this poor guy was being assessed and he said, call a 6 foot tall man with a beard, madam. Oh, Jesus Christ. What kind of fuckery is this? And eventually he was sacked. Because you must refer to somebody as female if they want you to. Couldn't resist it. Do you remember this? Got a little video for you. You'll remember this. This went viral. But it's fantastic. Do you remember the transgender person in the little store in New York? Do you remember? I'll have to turn my microphone down. This is world class. I don't know if this is going to fill the screen. It's the worst production values in the world. This, you know, I brag about the radio show because the radio show is second to none. I've said this before. It is the best produced and sounding radio show in the independent media by a country mile. We know this. We go to extraordinary lengths to make it like that. That's why this is hilarious. Do you remember this? Mother, hang on.
You're going to give me my fucking money back.
Excuse me, sir. There's a young man in here.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
I can call the police if you'd like me to. You need to settle down.
You need to settle down and mind your business, okay? Ma'am, once again, ma'am.
I said both of you.
No, you said sir. Once again, it's ma'am.
I actually said both of you guys. It was general.
Right beforehand, you fucking said sir.
Sir?
Motherfucker, take it outside. If you want to call me sir again, I will show you a fucking sir.
I apologize.
Motherfucker.
I apologize now.
I need your corporate number. Because I'm going to call them and talk about how I was misgendered several times in this store.
I apologize.
I need your corporate number now. Get it for me now.
I'm going to ask you to calm down and stop cussing.
Give me your corporate number. Well, I'm going to ask you for the fifth time to stop calling me a man, because quite clearly I am not.
Yeah, if that's a woman, I'm a Velociraptor. Or a Brontosaurus Rex. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Not T-Rex, a Brontosaurus Rex. If that's a woman, I'm a Brontosaurus Rex, yeah. Where are we going to be in 5 or 10 years' time, do you think? If I survive, I'll be 55 years old. What's going to happen then? Would I be in a bit of trouble for doing this? Now look, again, you know I have no messianic complex. I'm not important at all. I'm just a mouthpiece among a million mouthpieces. But I mean, would anybody like me doing this? If I did this live stream in 10 years' time, would my social credit be affected, for example? For mocking the freak. Let's be honest about it, right? Oh, Christ, this video is gone. Of course, I don't mean freak. You must do because you said it, Richie. No, I don't. I say this stuff to make myself laugh. Nobody is a freak. That's a very disturbed man who believes he's a woman. I believe I'm gorgeous. But I know I'm not, so I don't expect people to tell me that I'm gorgeous. No, I'm not fishing for compliments here. That's the truth. I am an ordinary looking bloke. I don't think I'm a model. Therefore, I don't expect to be treated as such. However you treat a model, right? You know, it's mad, isn't it? Holy Jesus. What else is on the papers today, eh? Oh, I'm telling you. I've got to go to the tip now in a minute. You know that? I've got to fill the car up again and go to the tip. There's no glamour in it. There's nothing in it in this radio business and live stream. There's nothing in it. Got to go to the tip and then I've got to come lift furniture all over the place. And oh, fuck it. I'm sick of it now. Sick of it. This is about as diva as it gets. What else is going on? If you're in the park and you have a child and your child meets somebody like me and my dog and your child nags you to get a dog, but you don't want a dog. And I love dogs and I will always have dogs around me, but I understand they're not for everybody. And if you really don't want one and your child is nagging the balls out of you, here's a story that'll soften the cough of your child. Here you are. Missing man was eaten by his own dogs. Can you believe me own dog did that to me, can you? Left him with only his bone fragments. It's not the first time I've heard a story like that where somebody has died at home, God love them, and they didn't, people didn't know they were missing. And obviously the dogs are left there, starving. But you don't have to give the child the whole story. Just give him the headline. I know, I'm a fucking idiot. I know, I'm well aware of it. What about this? The acceptance of gay relationships has plateaued. What does plateaued mean? It means it's levelled off. Levelled off. And it's not going to get any more accepted. And it might become less accepted. This is untrue, this. I don't know where this is coming from and who's promoting it. It's untrue. Because, you know, I don't pretend to have gay mates. I do have gay mates whom I'm very fond of. And I ask them about these things from time to time. Any hostility? Nah. Nobody cares, Richie. That's what they say, nobody cares. So I'm not buying it. But this is the great Stuart Waiton, PhD, who lectures at Abertay University, is doing some unbelievably stellar work on this. The creation of vulnerable groups. Taking groups that used to be vulnerable, making them more vulnerable, and then inventing new vulnerable groups to change how we interact with one another and to basically eviscerate free speech. That's what it's all about. I don't see any evidence. There's a lovely man who tweets me called John Rorty. John might see some of this, he might not. John is gay and he's some interesting tweets lately. John's a builder, I think. He's I don't know if he's a property developer, but he's doing an unbelievable job on a period building in where he's based in America. I think it's very nice. Anyway, he's been tweeting out bits and pieces about it, but John is gay. I know he's involved in Pride, I think. But I'd be interested to see what he says. But the gay folks I know, they say, no intolerance, Richie. A lot of gay men, particularly older gay men, not very happy with the trans lobby. And that's a fact. Right, I'm sorry about the lack of reading the comments. Kelly says she's very immature like Richie. Thank you, Kelly. I've always been immature. I've always been reasonably bright. You know, I've got a bit of nous about me, but I've always been a child. And the things that make me laugh are pathetic. I mean, they really are. And my pal, Hayden Hewitt, watched the live leak show and some of the videos that make him laugh. That's my sense of humour. Philip says, are you Dame Edna's daughter? Oh, yeah. Lovely. Jennifer says, while I'm not the best in the world to look at, I have a beautiful personality. Thank you, Jennifer. I look better off camera, you know. The camera's not my friend. Light is not my friend. Oh, be Jesus, huh? Hi to Misty Ernst, Steve Bennett, Sean Mack, David Bramble. Hi to Charlotte. How you doing, Charlotte? In Burnley. Charlotte, not too far away. To Car Dinny. Carr says you will have a wig and tits in 5 years, Richie. I told you on a live stream before, I did play a trans woman in a film made at Salford University, and the film was made in 2005, and I was asked to play Amanda, a trans woman. So I had to put a wig on, and I had to put on a dressing gown that had a leopard skin print on it. And the story was about a bully who was bullying people at school. And the bully was given messages by a girl saying that she wanted to meet him and have sex with him. Unknown to the bully, the girl was me, the trans woman. And I've tried to reach out to the guy who directed it, a guy called Andy, lovely guy, quite a few years younger than me, to say, Andy, is there any copy of it anywhere? Not to show it to you, to burn it. No, I'd like to see it again, actually. I've not seen it for years. I couldn't act my way out of a paper bag, to be honest. But I gave it my best, you know. I gave it my best. Right. Sorry about today. There's so much going on here. I can't do it. And it'll be substandard. I'm not putting substandard radio on the air. I'm not doing it. I'm going to go to the tip now and talk to the lads at the tip. They're good lads. Good lads. One of them is really into his conspiracy research. One of the lads who mans the tip. Dump what I need to dump. By the way, just around the corner from where we've moved, they found a dead body wrapped in plastic just off of Eccles Old Road. Jesus, Mary and Holy Saint Joseph. It's been in the news. And I drove past the other morning, the big cordoned off area where the police have put all these tents down, and all these police cars. They found a body wrapped in plastic. There's obviously somebody who's been killed and buried somewhere. Fucking hell. Anyway, I'm trying to get my money back. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Right. I love you for watching this, by the way. I really do. Look after yourselves, eh? I'll be back here tomorrow morning at 9:30, no matter what. Until then, get out of here. See you later. Bye now. Bye, bye, bye. Christ.